看到你的 mercy， 你的恩典要降在我们当中，因为你说过你愿意与你的子民同在。哦，谢谢你，你的宝贵应许，你今天要在我们当中，要眷顾你的子民。哦，你要悦纳你子民对你的敬拜。主啊，愿你的名配得颂扬和赞美，被高举在这里。谢谢你，奉耶稣基督的。
主啊，你的慈爱何其的大，我们因着你的慈爱能够来到你的面前，向你诉说你的伟大成全。我主啊，你是何等的慈爱，使我们凡事都要依靠你的慈爱才能够度过到今天。谢谢主的恩典是奉靠主耶稣的名。
是的，我们赞美你，天地万物都在改变，但是你永远不变。耶稣基督昨日今日直到永远都不改变，你的慈爱高及诸天，你的信实达到穹苍，你的名配得称颂，从日出之地到日落之处，你的名配得称颂。我们来赞美你，敬拜你。
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never will sweet to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All creatures but Jesus glory to his name.
We've gone through changes. My father and my mother used to sit right there. They're not here. And you know, the changes in the fellowship. But Jesus is the same. Jesus was the steadfast, our rock. foundation. And I just pray that we can be free. You have a testimony, you're welcome to come up. Feel free to do that. If you have a song, let the Spirit lead and just worship Him with all your heart, with all your might, all your soul, and all your mind. Praise the Lord.
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is true. All victories by Jesus never close into this day. Glory to His name. Glory to His name.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. 突然有点感动，分享两句见解。因为今天的话，就像刚才酱所说的一样，我们对不起，我就是中文那个木兰，好像是 OK 吧？我就像酱刚才提到的，我们在这儿的话，你确实是很长时间没有聚会。当我在这里聚会，我就这个敬拜让我带到，就是觉得跟周牧师在这儿的时候，就感觉是好像是就是很一样的。那个当然牧师在这里的话，你会把这个顺着圣灵带领。这一想一来到这里，我就觉得是神。我突然就想到说，神没有不会撇弃我们，也不会忘掉我，因为他的爱是一直的。当我们要呼求他的时候，他一定会听我们的应允。那我就想到的话，你出埃及记第二章那些我正在读的出埃及记，所以说的话，我可能跟你分享到这里来。出埃及记第二章，第三章第二章，对，第二章，第二章二十三节。出埃及记第二章第二十三节 ，Exodus 2:23。过了多年，埃及王死了，以色列人因苦工就叹息哀求。他们的哀声达于神，神听见了他们的哀声，就纪念他与亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各所立的约。神看顾以色列人，也知道他们的苦情。我想的话，神就知，当我们在这里，我们呼求神的时候，神知道。而且的话，你那个以色列人实际上大家都知道这段历史。原来讲埃及的时候是很好，约瑟带他们下埃及，他并且的话被约瑟得到了宰相，做他们都是非常好。但是过了很多年以后，他们在那里受苦，但是神却知道他们在那里受苦，所以当他们呼求的时候，神就听见了。神不但听见了，我想到今天我又想到一层意思，他不但听见，他还把更好的要给以色列人。那个更好就是以色列没有求，他求什么？他说：“哎呀，要救我们脱离埃及这个苦情嘛，我们在这里太苦了，生活太苦了啊！”可是神说什么呢？你不但要出埃及，你还要到流奶与蜜之地，你要来敬拜耶和华。所以说，我就想到我要出来，这个不仅要出埃及，而且要去敬拜耶和华，不是说单单要出来脱离现在的苦情。这是神的计划，这是神在我们。我想神在以色列神身上人身上的计划，就是我们今天也是在所有那些爱他子民人身上的一个旨意啊。他希望我们能够从这个脱离出来，从这个埃及的捆绑当中脱离出来，不受这个苦，并且能够自由地敬拜他。然后他有神有他的美意，然后他就选择了摩西。但是摩西开始还是不愿意。我自己想到的话呢，我们也是不愿意离开，哎，尤其是以色列人。我们跟小静说，就是我们跟以色列人是一样的。因为什么呢？以色列人是过了红海，看到了神给他们的玛拿，可是他们还是抱怨，还是怀疑神的作为啊，神就厌恶了这一代。那么呢，我想的话呢，我们的话呢，对我的话呢，自己的话，我想到就是什么呢？我们真是要感恩所给我们。如果要神要是没有给我们呢，我们也要耐心的等待；要神要给了我们呢，我们更是要欢喜快乐啊，在这里，而不要像那个以色列人在那个地里的在旷野地里的那个抱怨，或者是不信，或者是顽梗。我呢，今天我就想到了这些，所以说我就想到，我相信神真是当牧师和师母离开我们以后，当我们呼求神的时候，我就这样感动说，神一定也会眷顾我们这一小群人，让我们在这里的话呢，还是能够真的能够用 敬拜他，他并且呢，他呢也能够悦纳我们在这里对他的敬拜。
嗯。
加福音二十二章，主耶稣跟门徒最后一次的晚餐，在二十二章十六节，他说：“我很愿意在受害以前与你们吃这逾越节的筵席。”我告诉你们，我不再吃这筵席，直到成就在神的国里。耶稣接过杯来，祝谢了，说：“你们拿这个大家分着喝。我告诉你们，从今以后，我不再喝这葡萄汁， 只等神的国来到。主耶稣在最后一次跟他在世的时候，最后一次跟共用晚餐的时候，他就说他不会再跟他们吃这样面对面吃晚餐，只等到神国来到。那我们都知道说主耶稣所指的神国来到，当然就是当圣灵降临的时候，神国就到了。所以后来耶稣复活之后，那40天他跟门徒有常常在一起，但是那40天没有记载他有跟门徒们有在吃这个晚餐。所以他等到神国来了，就是等到圣灵来了之后，他在灵里跟门徒们一起领圣餐。我们相信我们今天在这里领圣餐也是他在我们当中，在我们当中。刚才慧杰弟兄分享到说，我们很感恩神的心意，就是不只是带我们出埃及，而是要带我们进迦南。他不只要带我们脱离了离别的忧伤，他要我们更往前走，甚至做比以前更大的事。我真的是深深的看到神在我们当中的工作。其实这包括带领我们的，就是要我们领受圣灵，让圣灵在我们当中自由的运行。那我们看到他真的是带我们有进入了，他不在之后，圣灵的工作真的是继续做，甚至做得更大。我特别是在晚校里边服侍，我们看到我们今年晚校的学生没有减少，反而是增多了一些那周一同工本来就是每年就是会有进进出出嘛，现在也好像有几个不那么积极没有参加，但是好多人在等着要进入，因为我们是每年才讨论一次，不是随时可以进入。所以神真的是在做工，圣灵真的是在我们当中。那在当我读到这两节圣经这几节圣经的时候，我特别留意到主耶稣说我不再做，然后可能到什么时候我会再做。我就想到神曾经这样讲过说，我不再做这件事，那是挪亚洪水的时候。挪亚洪水之后神看到哇，整个世界所有的生物都灭了，他有点心里有点难受了，因为都是他创造的。当初他创造的时候，每一样他看都是好的，但是这些他看都是好的后来都变了，犯罪了，堕落了，变成不好，所以不得不灭。但是他留下了挪亚一家，但是他还是说以后不会再用洪水灭这些，但是他只是说不会用洪水来灭这些 灭整个地球所有的生物，但是这个地球跟生物会不会再灭呢？会不会再灭？还是会的，只是不再用洪水。那用什么灭呢？用火灭。我们看一下彼得后书第三章，对，第十节，当主的日子要像劫来到一样，那日天必大有响声废去，有行止的都要被烈火消化，地和其上的物都要烧尽了。这一切既然都要如此消化，你们为人该当怎样圣洁，怎样敬虔，切切仰望神的日子来到。在那日天被火烧就消化了，有行止的都要被烈火烧 融化。但我们照他的应许，盼望新天新地有意居在其中。所以就是说，当神跟挪亚讲说他不会再用洪水灭天地，但是呢，在彼得后书我们看到说，因为人后来又在犯罪，又在犯罪，又在犯罪，越来这个罪恶越多越多，所以呢，有一天整个都要毁灭，然后有新天新地。那这一天呢，就是耶稣降临之后的事啊，所有的人都被审判之后，这个天地就要废去，所有有形质的都要融化。那我们这一天对不幸的人，对世界来说是非常可怕的，但是我们好像没有在怕这一天，是这样，因为我们是就像洪水的时候神拯救了 一家人，挪亚一家一人，整个世界被火消化的时候，仍然有一些人是蒙恩的，是得救的。当然就是，但是彼得也在这里提醒劝告，就是说我们该当怎么样的圣洁，怎样敬虔。在主耶稣在世的时候，他讲了很多次，就是关于审判的是在马太福音24、25章，在很多地方他都有很多的比喻，好像有些人有些仆人来到他的面前，那些忠心良善的就得到他的称赞，叫他说你可以进来享受你主人的快乐，但是那些作恶的不忠心的就说你这恶人，你离开我去吧。那么一个我们最不知道那些人是怎么样的，就是在马太福音第七章耶稣讲的说到时有许多的人来到我面前说，主啊，我们不是奉你的名传道，奉你的名赶鬼，奉你的名行许多异能吗？但是主说，你这二人，我不认识你，你离开我去吧。这个二人没有讲他做了哪些恶，从他们自己讲的应该是很好的基督徒，很有恩赐的基督徒，或者是传道人，会医病，会赶鬼会传道，会行异能。但是主耶稣说我不认识你，他唯一的罪就是耶稣不认识他，那就是说他跟耶稣其实没有什么关系。我想到这个不认识，怎么样是不认识呢？我们有时候假如一个大家族，大家会餐啊什么，有些人就会介绍说，那这一位这个叫什么叫什么，我没见过不认识。可能有些小孩出生了好久我们都没见过面，是吧？虽然他好像是一起来吃饭的，但是我不认识他。或者某个亲戚，名分上我们是亲戚，但是我并不认识他，很久没有来往了。所以就是说一个基督徒跟耶稣并没有很多个人的交往，没有常常来到他的面前，没有常常操练敬虔，就是花很多时间跟主在一起，跟主有很亲密的关系。那别人说我不认识你，所以你就不能进来，你就要离开。我想当时也很多跟主很熟的，天天都见面，天天都交往，每天都在一起的，主耶稣说你来了，快点进来，快点进来。所以彼得在这里讲到说，我们当如何圣洁，怎样敬虔，切切的说，我就想说，我们 我们要跟耶稣很熟。当然我们是不只是很熟，我们身上要有他，一定是他自己的生命，一定是他自己的生命。所以我们整个的内在生活就是在操练敬虔，要让自己成为圣洁，脱离自己那个卑贱的污秽的老我的生命，来得到耶稣自己。那么当我们真的自己都知道了，我有了，我里边有了，我想，我不知道说耶稣现在来，我们是不是每一个都已经完全了，但是至少我每一天都在操练，我每一天都往前走了一步，我每天都跟耶稣更亲近一点。只要在这个路上，只要我们的心是在这里的，那就是算数。因为不可能耶稣来的那一天大家的水平都一样的，是不是？但是只要我已经是走在这条路上，我每天都认认真真的在操练，每天都在操练敬虔，每天都要耶稣多一点。那么当耶稣来的时候，我们就是可以坦然无惧的来迎接他。那么在那个时候，我不知道主耶稣来了之后我们还会不会怎么领圣餐，现在他是已经跟我们在一起。在他来之后，在天上一定有很美，至少有羔羊婚宴，是不是？那个是最最大最美的圣餐。
Verses 12-17. Talks about Jesus as our friend. One knows this passage very well. If I could, I'll read in English, and if someone could read it in Chinese. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love no one this than to lay down one's life for his friend. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask of the Father in my name, they may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
第十节开始，第十节开始，十二到十七，你们要彼此相爱，像我爱你们一样，这就是我的命令。人为朋友舍命，人的爱没有比这大的。你们若遵守我吩咐你们的。 就是我的朋友了，以后我不再称你们为仆人，因仆人不知道主人做的事，才称你们为朋友。因我从我父所听见的，已经告诉你们了。不是你们拣选了我，是我拣选了你们，并且分派你们去结果子，叫你们的果子长存，使你们奉我的名，无论向父求什么，他就赐给你们。 我这样吩咐你们，是要叫你们彼此相爱。朋友
，friend， Jesus calls us friend， and I started to think about what does that mean？ What kind of friendship is this？ And how is Jesus our friend？ And I thought about well， what kind of friends did I have when I was growing up， or in my past or present？ And I thought about different kinds of friends I had. I had different friends. I think my first experience of having friends was probably when I was around 14. And we were living in New York. And I had a group of friends who were, like myself, Chinese American at a church. It wasn't a church that, it wasn't Ridgewood. It was a Chinese church in New York. But it was my first kind of experience of having close friends that we played basketball with, we did things together. But, you know, they were also becoming too important, because I remember arguing with my parents that I wanted to go to church with my friends and not go to church with them. So it became a conflict. And then my kind of second group of friends I remember were worldly friends when I backslid for 10 years, almost 10 years in college. And I started to mix with different friends that were not Christians. And, you know, it was very temporary. And I would only get together with them only when we had parties. It wasn't like we share each other's heart or emotions, ideas, things like that. But, and then when I came back to God, they were gone. They left. Some of them made fun of me. And I lost a lot of friends too. So that's kind of the worldly situation. Then the Lord brought me, and then I had another group of friends I consider kind of true friends. And that's when I started to go to Ridgewood. Brother Eddie, who was the pastor at the time, said, oh, why don't you, or Sister Antia, I don't know if you know the people, but I said, why don't you go be a counselor for the boys? And I had no idea what it was about. And I don't know how many of you have been to Coven Camp where the children's are. But so I was a counselor. And the first time I went, I had no idea. I had like the faithfuls or hopefuls. It was like 9, 10-year-old boys, 8 of them. But I was serving with this group of counselors. And and the Lord really blessed me in that group of men. And I've never felt such a kind of a camaraderie. I felt like I was almost in the army, you know, and we're all band together to fight against the enemy, which are 8-year-old boys. you know, it's not easy because sometimes you have different boys. It ended up I counseled for almost 10 years. And every year you get different boys. And I had ones that are the young ones usually. And they get homesick. And then one of them would start crying at night. And then the second one would start crying. And one night I had 4 boys crying. And I had to give them candy and console them. And then you have other situations where you have boys that come. I remember one boy, he had lost his father before he came to camp. We heard about that. And the Lord really worked in his heart. And he came every year after that. But I think the main thing is I had this group of friends that I served with. And our goal was to serve God. We were to minister to the boys, to teach, play with them. And then the Lord met us. I remember the first year I went, I think it was towards the end of the period, the Lord just came. And all the counselors were there, and the boys too. But the Lord touched us and blessed us. And I think that's what kept me going back every year for the next 10 years until I think I probably would have gone again except we moved to Dallas. So that was a bond that I really experienced in friendship that, you know, we know each other. I don't always talk to them because I'm away, but you know, Matthew is one of them. We still keep in touch, and his brother. And then I thought, okay, well, what's the next level of friend? The next level of friend would be my wife, probably my I would say my best friend. I don't know. we talk and we also argue about things. We have difference of opinion. It's not the perfect friend relationship. There's never a friend, 2 friends that's totally alike, that is totally like-minded where you don't have difference of opinion. I think everyone knows that, right? Especially if you're married. And so I thought about all these levels of friends. And then I looked up what's a couple of things that the Bible says about friends. And I just, you know, in the Old Testament, the Bible only called 2 people the friend of God. And that's Abraham and Moses. So only 2 people use that term friend, right, with God. And in this case, Jesus said, okay, well, you're my friend. All of us are his friends. Mm-hmm. He opened up this gap, right? And there are other places in Psalms 41:9. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. That's David. I think we think of Judas right away. A friend of Jesus for over 3 years. Sharing in ministry, but kind of betrayed him. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. That means a friend is somehow closer than even your brother or your sister. It could be, right? Because I think, I'll just finish the last one, Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So there are friends that are really close, and the Bible recognizes that, the friendship that we have, you know, and we think of, I thought of Jonathan and David when I was a young boy. I love that relationship. I just love that friendship, you know. They were so close. They were warriors. Jonathan knows how to shoot an arrow. But and Jonathan recognized the condition of his father, but also recognized David's anointing and chose to be with David. Of course, we know David honored Jonathan because he, Manasseh, who was crippled, took care of him at the end. But I just, and as a man, as a boy, there's nothing like that relationship that kind of catches your imagination. But, you know, I want to come back to Jesus calling us friends in these few verses. First, the Greek definition of friend, philos, is a friend means someone dearly loved in a personal and intimate way, a trusted confidant held dear in a close bond of personal affection. Someone, this describes someone who's a friend that's extremely close. I don't know, you know, who we have or who you have in your life who's a friend in this way. Right? I mean, do we? I used to. I think I had some friends. I had a very close friend that I kind of lost touch with. We had a misunderstanding. He wasn't a Christian. When I start to walk, with the Lord again, I noticed all the differences I had with my friends. And so, but the close friends are the ones that I share the relationship with God. And there's an understanding, you know, there's an immediate sense that we can fellowship about Jesus. I wanted to just kind of go through the verses again. In verse 12, this is my commandment. It's interesting that Jesus is a friend, but he also is an authority. He commands us. But this first command is that you love one another as I have loved you. So he demonstrated, he loved us by example, because he says, as I have loved you. Look, here's the way that I love you. Look at what I'm doing. And now you have to do the same. And then in verse 12, you are my friends. A greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Well, I mean, there is an example of what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross for us. He gave up not only his life. He was not a regular human being. If you read, and we're reading Revelations in our Bible study, if you think of Revelations and the Lamb and all the elders and angels bowing down to the Lamb and Jesus, the height of which Jesus is in, you know, Revelations, and then thinking of him coming down and dying for us on the cross is a huge, huge gap. And then 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Well, here again, he's saying, I'm asking you to obey me. I'm asking you to read the word and to do what the word of God says, not just to read the word of God. Love is, I think, is the most, in some ways, the most obvious way of telling, because it's based on actions. It's based on something that you do for your brothers and sisters. Forgiveness. How tough is that? Forgiveness. How do you forgive fully someone who you feel have wronged you? How do you love someone who doesn't, you know, who hates you? How do you love someone you don't get along with? You know, how do you do that? But you have to do it. And then for 15 says, no longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And in this case, it's about master and slave, that type of gap, right? That gap is closed. And that the Father shares his heart and his feeling with the slave, with the servant, with us. I mean, Jesus' heart is very clear in the Bible, how he speaks to us, how he loves us, and how he talks to us. You know, how just the way that the Spirit is used to reveal Jesus to us, also a way of revealing God's love to us. And then 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. I think it's interesting that first Jesus says, first he said, you did not choose me. He didn't say, I chose you first. You know, this sentence could have flipped around. But he said first, you didn't choose me. Why did he do that? Why did he say, oh, you know, you may have shown me, right? You didn't pick me, because I don't think we have the ability to pick Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's up to him. Only he has the power and the authority. So he makes that very clear. Look, you didn't pick me. I picked you. And I chose and appointed you that you go and bear fruit. So here's another command that you know, once we come into the kingdom of God, it's our responsibility to do what God wants us to do. And we can ask him of things. In 15. it says that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And if you look at verse 12 and 17, they're almost the same. These things I command you, that you love one another. And 12 is, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is important when Jesus repeats something to us. You know. So, he wants us to love one another. And the fullness and the capacity that Jesus can strengthen us to do. We cannot love on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. We're incapable of love, God's love, by ourselves. And then I just want to go to, that how Jesus is to me as a friend, too. He's been there when I am alone. Sometimes, you know, I said my wife is my best friend, but she doesn't know what I'm thinking. She doesn't know my heart all the time. She doesn't always agree with me, right? And sometimes there are important things to me that I don't think that she knows. But Jesus knows my heart fully and completely. Mm. And I find myself going to him and just communicating, having fellowship, waiting upon him. And then he answers me all the time. Oh, what a wonderful friend Jesus is. He's faithful, totally reliable, never disappointing, and always there. Always, always, always there. You have to come to him, though. You have to recognize that you need him and come to him. But I can say that he is definitely my one true only friend that really knows me and understands me and corrects me and disciplines me, puts me through trials that I need to learn things, inspires me, and fills me with his love and spirit. Praise the Lord. But now, you know, I want to just come to a quick closing. There, you know, if you go back to, there are three verses that I feel that that says a lot about Jesus sacrificing for us. In 13, we read, greater love is no one than to lay down one's life for his friend. Okay, that's verse 13. Of course, we know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But there's another John 3:16. There's a first John 3:16, right? It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. 1 John 3:16. What I love most is, he says, by this we know love. This is love. If there's ever an example that Jesus can point to, he's going to say, look, this is love. This is love, not just buying my wife chocolate and flowers, which I don't do often. But you lay down your life, and you ought to lay down your life for the lives of your brothers. That is the extent and the example of love that Jesus asked us to do. So we're coming to the Lord's table because Jesus did this. So he died on the cross for us. He sacrificed his blood. Flesh is broken. And he's created. This is allowed this event, but he wants us to remember this. And I think that it's great that we can remember it with these verses that's tied to his love. Not just his humility, not just, you know, his obedience to the Father, not just the prophecy of the Bible that tells of all these things, but to obey him, to love each other to the extent of Jesus loved us. And I don't know, you know, exactly how many of us can comprehend or understand what that is, but that's what's asked of us. That's what the Bible says. So let's remember the Lord. Let's come to the Lord's table. And let's remember what he's asking us to do. What he's asking us to remember. He says remember, right? He says do this in remembrance of me. Not just on the cross. Remember his love. Hallelujah. This is, if we could sing 206. And Brother Jeff can come up as we sing.
谢谢你，因为你说过你的，你为了朋友，为了我们，也就是你把你自己的命舍了。世上也没有这样的爱，是的，我们都在寻找爱。我们所需能人能够最大的满足就是爱，被爱融化和满足。主耶稣，你已经把你的爱向我们再次展现。谢谢你在十字架上所成就的爱，所舍命的爱，直到今天因着你的爱，我们才能够有能力能跟随你。哦，主啊，让我们的生命能够跟随你，能够活出你这个爱。我知道我没有，可是你有，求你把你的爱流露给我，因为我们才能够爱你，爱你和爱我们周遭的人。谢谢你让我们拿起这饼和杯来纪念你，因为这是你对我们的吩咐。你让我们想起你的爱，让我们常常纪念你的名在我们的生活当中。哦，谢谢你让我们不忘记你对我们的爱。我们感恩感谢那些奉耶稣基督的祷告。阿门。
2 Corinthians 11:23, for I receive from the Lord, which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of. Let's take part in it. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. But as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's drink. Through your love for us, sinners, unworthy, unnoticed, and disobedient, Father. But you turned us into your children, your friend, your confidant. Lord Jesus, may we all be holy, Lord Jesus, as a people coming unto you, Jesus, being under your blood, your spirit, and your authority. Oh God, help us to obey you in every sense, Lord Jesus, big and small. May we serve you in every little bit, also big and small. Oh Jesus, give us a joy and the strength to continue on, to be bold and confident in you, loving you, Jesus, sharing your love and your to be a light and blessing to those around us. We thank you, Lord. We pray for those who can't be here physically, and those who are not here, that you bless them and keep them where they are, children. We just thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus, and to be able to glorify you, to lift you up, Lord. Oh, that is the only thing that matters. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful day. Bless the food, Jesus, yes. Depart. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.